This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Some money on a Mega Millions ticket. Yes, this is where we're starting for once on upbeat news. Well, kind of upbeat news, unless you spent a fortune and you got nothing in return. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, a snapshot of where we are in America and what people are talking about. They are talking about the Mega Millions drawing. Even if they don't buy a lottery ticket ever, they still want to talk about it. I was at the dog park today. Did you get your ticket? Of course, and you know automatically that's what they're talking about. They're not talking about the Bruce Springsteen concert that's unaffordable that's coming to town in 2023. They're talking about a Mega Millions ticket. So here are the numbers, just in case you did get a ticket and for some reason you haven't checked. 29, 63, 66, 7, 60, and 15 is the Mega Ball. Those were the numbers I was going to pick, but I didn't pick them. So I did have a 15. I did have that. I did have a Mega Ball and a couple other numbers, not all on the same line. Yes, I got a ticket. I thought it was fun, and I went and did it. I went to Wawa and got a ticket and played along with everybody else. Raising Cane's CEO bought 50,000 Mega Million tickets to share with his employees. No idea if they cracked the code or not. The prize got so big because no one matched the game's six numbers since April 15th. So that would be 28 consecutive draws without a jackpot winner. That's why it got to as high as it got, $830 million. Wow. I mean, the odds are astronomical of hitting it, 1 in 302.5 million. So that would be pretty mind-blowing if you think about that. If you hit it, you know, you have better odds of a smaller payoff, like winning $1 million or something, but because it's a much smaller number, the odds. But just think about this, of what that would mean if you had hit that. And anybody who did hit it, and maybe it's a whole group of people, you do the payout thing after taxes, because, of course, you got to take the taxes out. You would get the paid over, if you got the annuity option, you'd be paid over 30 annual payments. Winners mostly go for the cash, which would pay $488 million. Wow. But then, of course, you've got more, you've got some other taxes, because the feds are going to want some more. So I think it'd be like 351. Whatever it is, it's an insane, insane amount of money. And listen, I say this show is about what connects us all together, even if we completely disagree on a lot of things that are happening in our world. But Mega Millions is played in 45 states, as well as in Washington, D.C., and the Virgin Islands. And, of course, we are heard in the Virgin Islands. And I know you're listening to me, and you might have bought a Mega Millions ticket. So I felt compelled to open the show talking about that instead of the DOJ and the former president or the wildfires, which we're going to get to in my beloved place of Yosemite, which I think is a gem among gems in this amazing country and has to be on anyone's bucket list. Or the fact that they found another body in Lake Mead just outside of Las Vegas. So the more you have drought, the more the water goes away, the more things are exposed, like maybe mob hits or maybe people who just, I don't know, fell in. Who knows? We will talk about all of that exciting stuff. But Mega, Mega Millions is the thing that really had this country buzzing. It was all over, trending on Twitter, Instagram, wherever. People were showing tickets. People were talking about it. Blah, 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 on and on and on and on. And it was absolutely, hands down, the most talked about thing I think with anyone. Like I said, even people I know that could care less in some ways and would never buy a ticket, they mentioned it. Casually, people just mentioned it. So it was a very, very big deal. All right, what are the odds that the sitting president, Joe Biden, will run again for president? He has said many times yes, and yes, he's running. But CNN just did a poll that showed 75% of Democratic voters, not Republicans, not independents, not people who don't want any labels, 75% of Democratic voters want someone other than Biden in 2024. Wow. Talk about being the sitting president and losing the confidence of your own party. People in your party, what does that say? I mean, are Democratic lawmakers completely tone deaf to what the public wants and to what their own party is saying? We keep hearing things like this, right? And you can say, oh, polls can get slanted. It's a small sampling. There's a reason polls work. There's a reason polls are done. There's a reason why politicians care about polls and why polling groups make so much bloody money. Because it is a sampling that often can read the tea leaves. Sometimes it's wrong, but can read the tea leaves and tell you what people are thinking. So the approval ratings are very low. Most Americans, and I can see why, they're discontented with where the economy is. Inflation is high. The consumer confidence has slipped again for the third straight month. People are struggling. People are tired of the supply chain woes. People are tired of everything related to post-COVID. And, oh, yeah, we still have another variant and everything else in between. But especially that, when you struggle with food, housing, gas, when it's at a 40-year high, I don't care who the president is, it's what's in your wallet, and we know it. Right? People can easily say, oh, money doesn't matter. And do I think money can buy happiness? No. No, I don't think that. But I do think when you're struggling, it can ease the pain. And when you can't afford to just do the essentials, when you can't afford that, and it keeps happening week after week after week, month after month after month, and you're still working, you're working hard, you're juggling this side hustle, you're doing all these other things, it gets really tiring, it gets really difficult, and you start to get furious with the people in charge. It makes sense. So Biden's approval rating is still in the 30s, as we know from right now. There's a new Granite State poll from the University of New Hampshire that shows just 31% of New Hampshire Democrats want Biden to run for re-election, and that 59 do not want him to run again. In June, 54% of New Hampshire Democrats say they didn't want him to run again. So now you wonder with the DNC, if you're running the DNC, what are you thinking? Always the president, it just seems like the president gets to decide, yeah, I'm going to run again, and everybody says, great, and whatever the party is. So will the Democrats actually look for a replacement for Biden? It's an intriguing question, especially with the midterm elections coming up. All right, we've just scratched the surface, much more to dive into, and we're going to do that next. We're going to dive into an almost empty lake.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriend, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Lake Mead in just a minute. Once again, Kate Delaney. Remember, you can always hit me up day or night, 24/7. The miracle of the internet, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. So I do have friends that live in St. Louis. Boy, it was rough on the people of St. Louis. Historic rainfall there, flash flooding on Tuesday morning. Sad stories about things that happen to people. One person dead, lots of other people trapped in their cars. I'm surprised they haven't found more. That is a good thing. But thunderstorms just crashed into St. Louis. And I understand this. When they say historic rainfall, what happens is when it comes down so fast, right? And 10 inches? So 10 inches is a lot. And the previous record, the previous daily record was like 6.85 inches, and that was in 1915. So you got to think about that 10 inches of what would 10 inches, think about this, what would 10 inches mean in your neighborhood? What would that mean to your house, your cars, your whatever, your street? Oh, we'd be flooded. And I'm in an area close to a flood zone, but I'm not in a flood zone because in the state of Florida, boy, you pay through the nose for flood insurance because the weather, and especially in hurricane season and in July and August, there's lots of rain. But that's probably what it felt like to the people in St. Louis. I mean, it happened around midnight and it stalled. So that's what happens. When it stalls, it pours water over the same narrow band again and again and again and again. And it just keeps coming down, and that's what it does. It piles up. So, of course, property damage is going to be big. There was cars all over that were flooded. Floodwaters went into homes and into cars, and lots of people had to be rescued. 70-plus people had to be rescued. There's a town northwest of St. Louis. I know it's St. Peter's. And sadly, they had a couple of puppies drown when a stray dog rescue adoptable place called Straw Paws flooded. Firefighters were able to rescue other dogs from that building, but they couldn't rescue all of them. 70 is a very big highway. Many of us know 70 and the states that it goes through. A big portion of that was closed down. And, you know, they're still in that whole cleanup mode. And the flood warnings went all through the afternoon. There were some isolated thunderstorms and, you know, some big concern about what that would be like. So you saw a lot of pictures of people being rescued and walking, you know, through waist-deep water in some cases. I mean, wow. Just really tough when that happens because you're not prepared. Like, you look at the weather and you think, well, there could be storms. But are you thinking 10 inches? And especially in the night. Like, in the middle of the night, are you thinking that? You wake up and there you are. And then it starts coming down. And the next day, it's really tough. I feel you, St. Louis, for sure. Lake Mead. I am fascinated by Lake Mead. I used to live in Las Vegas, and this is another place that's great to go and see the dam, you know, Hoover Dam. But because of the drought, water levels at Lake Mead are falling 12 inches every week, which is unbelievable. And now it's revealing all kinds of things that are in parts that are drying out. Because this is a giant man-made reservoir. All of you know that. They found decades-old skeleton of a man shot in the head, found stuffed in a barrel that was dumped in the lake. They think that happened in the 70s or the 80s. Another body was found days later. They didn't really have foul play evidence. They don't know. And they predicted they would find more bodies. Well, that's what's happening. They're finding more bodies in Lake Mead. Lake Mead once was 1,200 feet above sea level. But because of two decades of drought, it's only 1,040 feet above sea level as of Tuesday. The lowest level since they filled the sucker in the 30s. And like I said, 12 inches every week, right? 12 inches every week. So the last body they found, this latest body they found, they believe was the corpse of a mob victim. It's a hit. We can tell. We can tell what happened here. And who knows, you know, what else they'll end up finding, but the concern is so many rely on the water and you can't rely on it anymore because it's not there because of this phenomenal drought. And it's obviously going to take a toll, more of a toll, once again on water supplies, which is really tough in the West and parts of the West and the Southwest and whatnot. You know, I think about that when you see the high temperatures in Texas and you had fire start from grass fires. You had a bunch of homes that went up in flames, and it is tough with the drought. It is tough with the drought. It is tough with the high temperatures to try and push off what keeps happening again and again and again and again and again. And that's Yosemite. I mean, Yosemite has become California's largest fire of the season. Thousands of people are evacuating. Fire crews are making some headway. They're calling this the Oak Fire, but it's tripled in size since this one sparked, because there's others. Since this one sparked on Friday, and it was from hot and dry conditions. So, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, who is next in this sizzling hot weather of a summer, and what does it mean to property, to people, to beautiful areas, and certainly Yosemite is one of them. It's so tough on the people there, and tough on the tourism industry, too, discouraging people that might normally go there, realizing, well, I can't go here, I can't go there, or maybe we should wait because look what's happening. And I think, you know, that's happening more and more. So those plans normally that would be put in place during the summertime when kids are off families would go to places like Yosemite, they're not doing it because of the fires that are close to some of the areas they want to go to, or concern about where that could spread and what does that mean. All right, so I mentioned Biden. The other side of the coin is, you know, because we're getting to that point, we get to the November midterms and you think, wow, November, she's talking about November, talking about politics. Well, we're almost into August. You get into August and it's a mad dash to November, and you know what that's like. And then before you know it, poof, there goes 2022 and we're into 2023. So announcements happen. People who decide they're going to run, run. People are disillusioned. We know what's happening. The dreaded R word hasn't really been slapped on us, but it might as well be recession. People are struggling. I've already said that. So the Justice Department is investigating the former president's actions in on January 6th, after we've now gone through what's happened with the committee, which is then is going to resume. But from the Justice Department's side of it, they're investigating President Donald Trump's actions as part of their criminal probe, they say, of efforts to overturn the 2020 election results. Prosecutors are now questioning witnesses before a grand jury, including two aides to Vice President Mike Pence. And they've asked in recent days about conversations with the president, his lawyers, others in the inner circle who sought to substitute Trump allies for certified electors from some states, is what they're saying. The states that Joe Biden won, prosecutors have asked for hours of detailed questions about meetings that were led in December 2020 and January 2021 by the former president. And in addition, Justice Department investigators in April got phone records of key officials, and they're going through all those records. So what ends up becoming of this after we've seen the January 6th hearing so far at this point, and now this is the Department of Justice? And what does that mean for, I mean, the stakes are obviously high. What does this mean for the former president who hints of running again, and does if he decides he's going to run, how does that look when you look at the people who are running justice and what party they represent, and then what does that sticky wicket become? It's very intriguing. It is like a different mousetrap. It really, really is. Because unlike the Justice Department, the House panel does not have the power to launch criminal investigations or charge anyone with wrongdoing. Will that actually happen in this case or no? And how long does all of this take? Aye, aye, aye. Hang with us.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well,
you see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
It doesn't look good for a second term of President Joe Biden. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg has tied his boss in a new poll out of New Hampshire released while the president continues to isolate for COVID-19. Buttigieg is at 17%, with Biden at 16% in the new University of New Hampshire poll, which asked likely Democratic voters about potential 2024 candidates. Trailing far behind is Vice President Kamala Harris at 6%. North Dakota's only abortion clinic is preparing for what could be its final day of performing procedures with a trigger ban due to take effect Thursday. Some say that will force patients to travel hundreds of miles to receive care pending the clinic's relocation across the border to Minnesota. You're listening to USA Radio News. Former Vice President Mike Pence pleaded with young Americans to take the pro-life cause to every state house in America.
Vice President Mike Pence speaking at the Young Americans Foundation in Washington, D.C. Tuesday morning.
To restoring the unalienable right to life for every American born and unborn. So we must not rest. We must not relent. We must not tire until we've restored the sanctity of life to the center of American law in every state in the nation. We save the babies. We'll save America.
From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Newly released polling data shows most parents are not interested in vaccinating their young kids. The Kaiser Family Foundation released the survey Tuesday, which showed that 83% of parents with children under 5 years of age who are eligible for the vaccine are not planning to get their child vaccinated right now. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Well, I'm excited to introduce you to this next lady. She is in our virtual green room, and oh, the story she tells. Rhonda Collia has written a book called The Crop Duster's Daughter. And we were just talking about crop dusters and just the slice of Americana that it is and what it's like now. And we'll get into that in a second. But Rhonda, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
What made you write this book?
My mother was born in 1918, and because this was such a unique and an unusual area of vocation, I thought that people needed to know what a pioneer she was for crop dusting and crop spraying. I mean, it's just, there's only a handful now. In fact, there's only like 3,000 crop dusters in the United States, or also I think either the United States or around the world. So it's a very limited group. And I just thought, since she pioneered it, she built her own airplane. Oh, she was amazing. I just had to get the word out.
Wow, she built her own airplane, and she figured it all out. What was she like?
She was adventurous, obviously. She loved anything that went fast. She met my father, and she traded Harley lessons for flying lessons. So she learned to ride a Harley. And, of course, he became a pilot, and they married later on, about 3 years later, and they would do dog fights. Mom would paint the airplanes red, white, and blue with white and red dog teeth on them on the front, and then they'd do mock trials and mock dog fights for the community of Bennington, Kansas, which was about 600 people, and everybody in the community and surrounding area would come out and watch. They'd start at opposite ends of the crop field, and they'd fly towards each other. And then they come up in a loop in a lazy eight, split eight, and they part ways in the air. It was really cool.
Wow. So for you, did you have any desire to learn the skill that she had?
I did at first, but I know how dangerous it is. And the lifespan of a crop duster when she was doing it was only 7 years. and she was a pilot and instructor for 34 years, and she was a crop duster for 29. So it tells you she had some serious skills.
Boy, no kidding. What do people not know about crop dusting that you talk about in the book?
Well, I don't go into a lot of detail in the book because I thought it might not be as interesting to them as it would be if I just told their life story. But basically, when you're flying over that crop, you're about a foot off that crop. You're spraying at 120 miles an hour, and you do not have room for error. I mean, you know, if a wheel caught the top of that crop, you'd be over in just a heartbeat. If you make a mistake coming up and you hit one of the power lines, you need to go in at an angle so that the prop will cut the wire instead of bouncing you back like a rubber band. And things like that. Those are important things to know. Cottonwoods are an optical illusion. They are actually about 2 feet taller than they appear. When you're pulling up, you need to know things like that.
Yeah, no kidding. So in the book, as you say, you talk about her life, and you've already told us some amazing things. What else will we learn in the book, The Crop Duster's Daughter?
She got shot down, and she lay without an incident. She was, I loved hearing her tell this story, but I have her on tape doing that. She was giving a third flight lesson to a nervous Nellie that she was going to wash out because she just did not have stamina for being a pilot. Mom wouldn't be comfortable soloing her. And so she was up with her third lesson, and she knew there was a thunderhead, but it was on the horizon. They weren't going to be gone for very long, and so she was going to be able to take the lesson and get back in plenty of time before the storm hit. Well, this was a fabric airplane that my mother built, and it was a tail dragger. I'm not sure if it was an Aranka or what, but it was a tail dragger. And she heard a pop. And Mom said that it was probably just a clap of thunder. Well, in truth, Mom had just gotten a bullet in her back, and it missed her heart by half an inch. And it came through the fabric of the airplane, caught her in the back, and she knew something had happened, but she couldn't believe she'd been shot. She just knew that she was in a panic, and her body was shutting down. And so she had to land that plane. So she took over the controls and told her she was going to show her and demonstrate how to do a forced landing. And she landed the plane without incident, but she slumped over the wheel, and that's when the nervous Nellie, I didn't know her name, but bless her heart, she saved my mom's life that day. She ran and got help, and my mother actually went into a three-day coma after that, and she had a near-death experience, but she came out of it and resumed her life. I mean, she was remarkable. She was remarkable.
Wow, no kidding. And we're speaking with Rhonda Collier. So fascinating. The Crop Duster's Daughter is the name of the book. You can get it on Amazon or anywhere where great books are sold. Did she ever buzz you? Did she ever, fly over your car, just tease you?
God, yes. You bring that up. I was 16 and a new driver. I've been driving with her since I was 14, and I was on a solo drive. And she was ferrying the airplane or going empty, no load in it. And she'd just gotten a short takeoff and landing kit, a Stoll kit installed. And she was ferrying the airplane from Salina, Kansas, back to Clyde, Kansas. Well, these are back roads, and they're almost all dirt or gravel roads. And I was driving along singing to Barry Manilow because it was prom, and I was all excited. I was going with my boyfriend. And I got distracted. I wasn't watching her signal cues where to turn. So all of a sudden, I was going around one of these curves that just seemed to go on forever. You know, it was a hill that you couldn't see past, and you just couldn't see around. And all of a sudden, I see my mother flying low straight at me, eyeball to eyeball. And she is laughing so hard, and I am panic-stricken, which is, of course, why she did it, to get my attention. And she flies right over the roof of the hood of the car, drops an automatic flag, and gets my attention. So, it's a wonder I didn't wreck, but this is so common for my mother that it didn't really surprise me that much. I got her cue, and I made it home on time, and I didn't go out of my way. But, you know, these are the kinds of things my mother would do, and this was normal. You know, I woke up every morning to the yawn of a Pawnee 235, which was her single airplane. You know, that was about 5:30 every morning, summer, every time, every day. When the sun was up, Mom was up just before, so she could be on the crop by sunup. she did not waste time during the day, because Kansas winds will keep you from getting your job done, and she couldn't do that. So she was up, sun up to sundown.
How fun has this journey been for you to write this book?
Oh, it's been a hoot. Mixed emotions, because I miss her, you know. She always made me laugh. She was always in for a good prank or a good joke. She really loved pranks. And she would always leave me silly little notes, you know, and I memorized one. I got one published, a little poem. And, you know, just it's been a journey of reminiscing and remembering close up and personal just how neat it was to have the engines. You know, we have an 1881 highway airport. And at one time, we probably took about 13 planes on ground, you know, that we were either tying down or hangaring. And, you know, it was pretty thriving for a small business. Of course, we had the crop dusting business, too, with two planes. And I got to go up all the time in the trainers. One time, my mother wanted to make a flight fun for me. We were going on a business trip to meet a gentleman at Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. And I love black olives. Don't ask me. I did. And they served some non-pitted black olives. So Mom told me to save the seeds, and she would open the window, and we could plant little olive trees on the way home, which was her way of making it fun for a little six-year-old girl.
How fun. What do you hope people take away from reading your book about your mom?
I hope they take away the fact that she was a real pioneer. She lived in a man's world, and she worked at Beechcraft one time, and she was a foreman, and she found a riveting pattern in one of the wings that was going to fail. And having been an A&E mechanic and building her own airplane, she knew this. And she took it to her supervisor, and he laughed at her and didn't have a clue what she was talking about. And I begged to differ, so did she. So she quit her job when she couldn't get anybody to listen to her, which was a bold move because with 400 kids and a single mom back in the 50s, that was a stigma, you know. It was terrifying. And she did it anyway because her conscience wouldn't let her knowingly create a failing wing. And so sure enough, about a year later, the plane failed. It was the wing. It was the riveting pattern, you know. And it didn't make her feel good because she knew it was going to happen. And, you know, I don't know the outcome if somebody was not surviving it or what the situation was. But the wing failed like she said it would. And, you know, it's just constant people not giving her the credit she was due and not believing her. You know, when she said something was going to happen, good or bad, on that flight, she knew. And she always had a motto, take care of your airplane and it'll take care of you.
Wow.
You know, she had momisms, and she brought us up in the milk of God's word, you know, and she had nail soup, which was really fun. She took a shiny 10-penny brand new nail, stuck it in a pot of boiling water, and she opened the Bible on the table to all faith verses that, you know, like faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's my favorite Bible verse because it says so much and so little. And we had to memorize these Bible verses on faith while she was helping us cook the nail soup. And sure enough, she said it turned into chicken noodle soup. Well, of course it did, because she would add ingredients when we weren't looking at the Bible, trying to memorize the Bible verses. So she had a way of making things fun, and learning was always fun around my mom. She was a teacher before she was a crop duster.
Wow. Well, what a tribute to her. What an interesting lady, and we can all learn, I think, a lot from this book and from her, the crop duster's daughter, Rhonda Colia. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready-hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Pig in the mailbag.
All right, thanks to everybody who sent me their thoughts on, well, just about everything that you can imagine from A to Z, including this one from Jack, who says, "Yo, Kate Delaney, I know that you've lived a lot of places, like the Johnny Cash song. I always think of you when I hear that song. It's on some commercial. I can't think of it right now. But I thought I would send this quick email to you because I know you lived in Vegas. What do you make of what's happening with what they're unearthing at Lake Mead?" And boy, I bet when you were there, it was full, full, full. Yeah, you know what? It's funny. When was I there? I was there in the mid-90s. There in the mid-90s, and it was full. It, you know, you'd go out, and there was lots of boating going on. I don't remember what the level of it was, but it was high. There was no consideration about, oh yeah, we're gonna have this. We're having drought problems, and that kind of thing. It was just kind of amazing. They would show you where the water got dispersed and how the dam worked and all of that. So, no, there wasn't that kind of conversation. So it is shocking to me to see. You can see on the rocks in Lake Mead, on all surrounding the side, I mean, there's your markers. It shows you how it's going down those 12 inches because you can see it's just giant how big the leap is. And of course that's why they're finding the things that they're finding. It's creepy. It's really, honestly. And it just shows you what's happened in the West, and especially California, Colorado. A lot of people don't mention Colorado, but Colorado's in the mix of that too. So it's it's sad. It's sad where it is. It would be great to see that sucker fill back up again. And it's important for lives, for people that need the water. This one from Joey. Kate, I bet you got a Mega Millions ticket. I could sit here and just ream and go on and on and on and vent about politics and the state of where we're at right now, but who wants to hear that? So in this email, I just wonder, what would you do if you won the Mega Millions jackpot? What would be one of the first things that you would do? That's all the people in my office are talking about, and I work in an engineering firm, so go figure. And you wouldn't believe the cockamamie things that people are saying, including that they would stay in their job. Why would you stay in your job? You know what? It is interesting that people say that, but would you really do that if you won an incredible amount of money? Because, all right, number one, even if you really like your job, what's the incentive? Number two, because you have a job, that means you're putting hours into it, hours that you could be seeing the world, you could be starting your own philanthropic, incredible, feel-good mission, whatever that would be, and just having fun. I mean, you could help people enormously, but still have this incredible lifestyle that you probably didn't dream of having, kind of like big movie stars have. Like, you keep seeing J-Lo and Ben Affleck splashed all over the place, or George Clooney, and they have that kind of megawatt life financially. Forget about the fame thing, but they have that with the money thing. So you would have that. You would have the ability to just have a private jet take you wherever you wanted to go and do all those things that you wouldn't normally consider, right? Or you'd have to pull different people in, and you could treat people. I mean, that would be the thing. I think that would be the first thing that I would do. So all these people that have been really great to me, and not that I don't do that already, but that would be what I would want to do. And then, of course, help people, and you'd still have an insane, let me say it again, insane amount of money left over. I mean, that's bottom line. Help the people in the Ukraine. Boy, yeah, that'd be a mere pittance, wouldn't it? Yeah. You know, speaking of that, we've got a bunch of people that have sent emails about Ukraine. And this one's from Rob. And he says, Kate, thanks for having the fellows on that you've had in the past talking about what's going on in Ukraine. I follow your buddy, Mark Lindquist, because of that. And he's doing just some amazing things over there. And I thank him for his service anyway, and I know you've had him on before, and it's just sad to see what's happening to so many lives. Even though people have gotten out, there are lives that are torn apart, and you look at the buildings, you look at the towns, you look at the things that we've seen, and of course Russia keeps using missiles. And they're doing all the things that they can do to make it really tough for Ukrainians who are staying there and fighting the good fight. In the end, how long does this get drawn out? And can Ukrainians really stand tall and stand up to Putin enough where they can win this thing? Well, you know, there's the question. Is it a winnable situation? I mean, to me, what you want is Putin out. But how do you get Putin out? I mean, how do you get him out? And, you know, people look at his health like, hey, is he unhealthy? Is he unstable? Does he have cancer? What's going on with his body language? And, you know, everything about him gets scrutinized because I think there's people that are wishing, okay, is he falling down and then this is it? And once he's done, then this whole thing will change? Because who would be the successor to Putin? Well, there isn't a clear successor from what I understand. So that's the other thing. So that would be a political crisis in itself. And, of course, Iran and Russia, big buddies, right? Iran is right there with Russia, supporting them with what they're doing as far as Ukraine is concerned. You know, the more you read, the more you dig, the more people I talk to, the more all of you see, there is no end to this at this point. There's just no end. We don't know any clues. We can look for clues about his health. We have no idea what's happening there. And, you know, he doesn't want to let go of this. He is going to be around for as long as he's going to be around. As long as he is standing, he is going to be around. I mean, that's it. And he's got a close circle of trusted people. You can guarantee that small circle. And I do not believe there is no way. First of all, there's no way. If you've read anything, if you've seen anything, if you want to read your own thoughts into it, does he look like someone that would ever back down? No. He doesn't. So he's not backing down. So this is going to keep going on and on and on and on. And it's a question of how much of a fight does Ukraine put up. That's why it's important, like my friend Mark Lindquist, with what he's doing and trying to help the people that are there and survey what's happening, and with a gang of people from other countries and even people there, try to help in whatever way he can. And the people that keep Ukraine and the thoughts of what's happening and trying to help and not let it fade into the background, that is seriously, seriously important. All right, then I got this one. This is interesting. That's why I said everything from A to Z. That's why, please, just send me your thoughts on it. It's fine. Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. So I got this one from Jonathan, who says, Kate, did you see that Chris Cuomo has got a new gig? Didn't this guy make up a bunch of nonsense and try to protect his brother when he was governor, and eventually CNN booted him when they did their own investigation and found he was advising his brother with all the sexual harassment allegations, and while he was a primetime TV host for them? What kind of idiots are going to watch Chris Cuomo? What does he have to say that you really want to pay attention to? Well, okay, so here's the thing. It is interesting. I do agree. It is interesting. He's suing CNN for $125 million after he got booted, because he's saying that, first of all, he is denying allegations of his own sexual misconduct, because he's saying, I'm not going to be able to convince people one way or another, but that story broke and that's not true. And also he's trying to say that he never lied, he had no secrets, he never contacted other media to impact the coverage of his disgraced brother, the former governor of New York. And he said, yeah, there's litigation going on. So how about that? He's going to be joining News Nation in the fall to host a primetime show. I wonder if people will tune in. Touche. Music Means, I got to step off the stage. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. And hats off to Jeremy Paulson for his fine work on the technicals.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.